Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Bouncing Back is the memoir by Michael Flynn, who most of us know as Mattress Mick. It tells the story of his life from his formative years in Pierce Street to becoming one of Ireland's most recognisable businessmen. And Michael is here with me in the studio. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning.
Lovely to have you with
Thank
me.
You. Thank
it's
you.
It's a great read, cover to cover. It's a fascinating life that you've led. And you talk about your mission back in 2012, which was to make sure the country got a great night's sleep and in the process become the Mattress King. But that was only in 2012, and there's a whole lot to get through before you get to that point. Your first job was when you were 10, delivering milk, isn't that right?
That's correct, yes.
All the way back.
Yeah, we were living in Churchtown at the time, and the milk was delivered at that stage door to door. So there was a float, a milk float going around, and yes, I had to get onto that float.
Get the few bob,
yeah, and also just to get... I always wanted to be doing things. I didn't want to be playing football, or I didn't want to be doing what other kids do. And I just liked the idea of spending some time with the milkman.
You loved Churchtown, that was clear. The whole family loved Churchtown.
Absolutely, yeah, it was super. It was a really great experience living there, because we were born, when I was born, it was Chapel Lizard. Then my family moved to Churchtown, Landscape Park, and it was really, really lovely.
But it didn't last.
No. My family had a business in Pierce Street, which got into a bit of bother. My grandfather opened it in 1936, and my dad worked in the shop, but things got a bit ropey, and he decided there was a house behind the shop in Pierce Street. So he decided, for whatever reason, I don't know, to sell the house in Churchtown and move us all into the accommodation that was available in Pierce Street.
Well, it was to help your grandfather, wasn't it, at that time?
At that time it was, yeah.
And to help pay the debts as well.
Yeah, because I don't know much about the history of my grandfather. I don't know where all his money went, and I never actually inquired, but it was a thriving business, and I don't know whether he was a gambler or drinker or whatever. I don't know.
There was something awry there.
Yeah.
And you weren't happy initially in Pierce Street. Is that fair to say? It was a big change for all the family.
It was dreadful, because we didn't have a hall door as such. We had to go through the shop to get into the house. The house was right at the back. After being used to living in Churchtown with, you know, a normal front garden, a driveway, a hall door, it was totally different. And the area too was different. There were no fields, there was no nothing except bricks and mortar around us. So it was very difficult to enjoy what we were used to.
And your granny was tough.
Yes, a very tough lady. Very tough. She was, in my view, a little bit... I hadn't met many grannies up to then, but she was a little bit of a dictator. She wasn't always very nice to my mum. And I could see also to my father. She was tough.
Yeah, but get on with it, you did, in Pierce Street. And then a little later on, as the years went by, you started selling in the dandelion market.
Yes, I got a job in a bank, right? And I used to spend the weekends working in the dandelion market.
Selling what now?
Costume jewellery. Costume jewellery.
Were you working for somebody?
No, I was doing it for myself.
You were doing it for yourself.
I sourced it all myself. I sold literally everything. I took stuff out of the shop as well to bring in from the shop in Pierce Street, the drapery shop. But no, mainly it was costume jewellery, which I was buying from a wholesaler. And I had great fun up in the dandelion market. It was fantastic. It was a Saturday and a Sunday. And at that time, where it was located was the old Taylor Keith Lemonade Factory, which is now St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. But one of the big highlights of my experience there was the fact that U2, the band, were practising or getting off the ground in a tunnel. There was a tunnel into the market. And I got to know the lads quite well, had some lovely photographs taken, but I can't find them. I just cannot locate the photographs.
What a pity.
It's a shame, yeah. But the dandelion market was very good to me. I bought my first car, which is a Mini, a lovely brand new Mini, from the proceeds of the dandelion market.
Well, I mean, you were working in the bank, you were working there at the weekends, but you had to, because your poor father died when you were only 19.
19,
so
yeah.
That was a lot on you then, wasn't it, to keep the place afloat?
It was, but I took it on board. Mm-hmm. I had a brother and two sisters at the time. They had to be looked after. My mum had to be looked after. And yes, I had no problem in adapting to helping them.
Yeah.
In fact, I felt it was my duty.
To help out. Well, it was, I suppose, at that time, especially, you know, you're in that position, you're a leader of the gang and you have to put the bread on the table. You're very honest in the book. Like, you talk a lot about your first love, Kathy, who you were with at that time.
That's correct, yes.
You were together for years, I take it.
Yeah, we had a good journey together, but she decided I wasn't the one for her.
Yes.
Which broke my heart. Mm-hmm. It really did. But again, she found a lot of happiness later in life. She got married, had kids. And I went in my own direction.
Yeah.
I was working. I had my own girlfriends. Well, like, being a handsome guy, I had no problem getting...
You had plenty of girlfriends.
Plenty of girlfriends.
I read all about them in the book. Then there was Jean.
Yes.
And you went very far down the road with Jean in that you were engaged, you were going to get married, but you didn't feel that was right. You had the house bought in Monkstown.
That's correct.
But no, you felt there was something not quite right there.
Yeah, what I felt there was, I loved Jean very much. She was a lovely girl, beautiful. But her family were extremely wealthy. And I think they were comfortable with me working in the bank. But the fact that I wanted to give that up and work in a store in Pier Street, be self-employed, I don't think it really was there. Want for her daughter.
And that's where your heart was, because that's what you did.
Yes.
And things ended with Jean. You went off then and you threw yourself into the shop.
That's correct.
You were delivering the gas.
Yes.
You bought the house then for your mother and your sister.
Yes.
In Sandymount.
That's correct.
They sounded to me like good years, Mick.
They were. Air gas was brilliant. Like, everybody was using super serves and using gas cookers at the time, but there was nobody giving a proper delivery service.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw an opening there to do that, and I bought myself a little pickup van. I got the agency. In the shop, we had drapery, furniture and super serves.
And did you expand then from there, because you were doing well at that time?
Yes. I opened a shop in Prussia Street, a furniture store in Prussia Street. I also opened one in Georgia Street, in the old Dockrell's factory in Georgia Street. But then I also diversified into the grocery business.
The Mace shops.
The Mace shop in Ringsend, yeah. That was my first. Again, I saw an opening there. There was all the shops in Ringsend were kind of like the typical counter style shop. But I put in a supermarket style shop. And it was one of the first in that area. And it went exceptionally well. And out of that, I met my wife.
Yes. So Margaret worked in that shop, didn't she?
Yeah. Her brother worked for me doing the gas when I started doing that. And that's how I got to know the family. And I was looking for somebody to basically manage the shop because I couldn't do everything. I had the furniture, I had the grocery, I had the gas. So, Margaret came for an interview, and it wasn't really an interview. She had the job before she came in.
And you were together and you were dating and so on, but you were dating other people as well.
That's right.
Is that fair to say?
Yes.
You're very clear about that in the book. And again, you're very honest about it.
Yes.
So take us through what happened then.
Well, I didn't initially start going out with Margaret. She started working for me, and we just, over the years, grew a bond. But I was certainly enjoying life in like the Leeson Street and the tennis clubs and wherever you could get a late night drink, I suppose. But I did take my eye off the ball. But at the same time, I was also becoming closer and closer to Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a girl, a little baby. Her name is Michelle. And that was a long time ago now. She's in her late 30s. We weren't married. We had the child, Michelle, and it was difficult but great.
Yeah. And your mother took Margaret and Michelle under her wing, really,
she did,
didn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
But you were still off gallivanting at that point.
I was. I was still being the man about town, so to speak, which I enjoyed. But I was becoming more concerned or more like a father. I wanted to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the relationship between Margaret, my mum, and it really made me think about my own life.
Yeah. And how was business at that time when Michelle was born?
It was good. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
But it changed.
It changed. Yeah. Because what happened then was, with all the stuff that was going on, Margaret was concentrating on their looking after a child. I took my eye completely off the ball and I lost everything. My mum died at that time, and it was left myself and my sister Mary in the house in Sandymount. So in order to clear off all the mess I created, I decided I'd sell the house.
And where did you go and live then, and Mary?
Mary went to live with my sister Catherine, and Margaret and I rented a house in Clontarf.
Right.
So
so you and Margaret now are together, and,
yes,
and baby Michelle
and baby
at this
Michelle.
Stage.
Now, we weren't married.
Yeah.
But we decided we'd move in together, and I rented a house in Clontarf.
You're sort of rock bottom-ish. I mean, you still have the old Pier Street store, the family
store.
Yeah,
Pier Street was always there. It never went anywhere. That was outside all of my other commitments. But it wasn't flying along. It was doing okay. It was difficult to even get the deposit for the house in Clontarf. But we managed.
To rent it.
Yeah.
So how did you build things back up again on the business side?
Well, Pier Street was, it wasn't thriving, but it was steady. I moved then to a shop in the Northside Shopping Centre and I started trading there. I got great support from my suppliers in the furniture industry at that time. And it went very, very well. And the staff that I have working with me today were there at the beginning.
Well, that tells a lot, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they're mentioned in the book, by the way, and I'm very proud and very honoured that they're still with me. Mm-hmm. Now, we have our fights and our ups and downs. We're all getting a bit older. But I decided I'd open another furniture shop. I opened one in Bachelor's Walk. I opened one in Donnymead Shopping Centre, which is also a great success. But we also then wanted to have more children. And Margaret, unfortunately, couldn't have any more.
Mm-hmm. And you had some dreadful times, and you speak about that, about losing babies. That happened three times. Incredibly difficult for Margaret and for you.
It was really hard. And we decided then what we would do is we took in children from Chernobyl, from Russia, after the Chernobyl event.
Mm-hmm.
We brought them over and they would spend 4 to 6 weeks with us.
So that was through A.D. Roach's organisation, wasn't it? The Chernobyl Children's Project. So they'd come to you for a couple of weeks over the summer, was it?
They'd come for anything between 4 to 6 weeks and stay in the house. We always had two girls stay with us. And it was fantastic. It was lovely. And I could see the joy in Margaret's face because she had more children in the house.
Was it very hard for her to say goodbye to them, though, when they were going home?
Yes, it was, of course, but we knew there'd be more coming back. We did it for a number of years.
Mm.
And we made some great contacts and some great friends to the whole community. We then decided we'd adopt a baby. And Russia was our country of choice because of our connection, I think, with the Chernobyl project. So we went to the Eastern Health Board, got the assessment. But one of the conditions to adopt, I was too old to adopt an Irish child. It had to be an international adoption. And one of the conditions was you had to be married.
And you, of course, weren't married at that stage.
No. So we decided, well, we'll get married. And we got married. We got married out in Killiney, in a lovely church in Killiney. And we had five people at the wedding. Five. It was a marriage, I won't say of convenience, but of necessity to achieve what we wanted to do.
Yes.
And
so off with you, the two of you then to Russia.
We went to Russia the night Princess Diana was killed. That was the night we flew out from Shannon. And we arrived in Moscow and we had to get a train down to a city called Nizhny Novgorod. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And we went into the orphanage and when we were walking up, we actually had an interpreter with us. Mm-hmm. We needed an interpreter. We went to the orphanage and as we were walking up to the orphanage, there was a whole lot of children shouting, "Mama, Papa, Mama, Papa."
In the hope that you were there for them.
For them, yeah. So they brought us into this room and then there was little Marina was sitting there at a table on her own with a plate of food in front of her. And Margaret said, "Wow, that's for me." She knew straight away. We just knew that Marina was.
And was Marina was two, was
two,
she?
Two, yes.
At the time.
Two, yeah.
And you brought her home then. And there was a huge fuss about this, wasn't there? Lots of media attention.
There was, yeah. It was... we were the second Irish couple to adopt a child from Russia. And for some reason, it got out that we had gone to Russia. And the family, the neighbour, in Clontarf, when we came back, had organised a big kind of celebration
welcome home,
or welcoming
yeah.
home, together with my family and Margaret's family. And it got to the news. And in fact, Pat Kenny gave me a little time on the radio show to talk about it.
At the time, lovely.
Yeah, and as a result of that, a lot of people contacted us to see, could we help them, give them advice, because they wanted to also adopt kids from Russia.
And of course, Marina became a part of your family, and that was a seamless process. And it's a really lovely story, Michelle and Marina and Margaret yeah. and yourself. Now, back to the business, because we come to the financial crash. Mm-hmm. All of the lovely shops that you described,
yeah,
belly up.
Northside Shopping Centre was my main store. I couldn't pay the rent in 08-09. The business had declined. The service charges were negotiable to a point, but the rent wasn't. And it made life very difficult. So I decided, it was a limited company, so I decided I would liquidate Northside Furniture Limited.
You got through that, the
creditors
meeting.
I got through
that,
and I had the shop in Pure Street still. That was outside,
course,
and
yeah.
I had the warehouse in Coolock. So what I decided to do, I'm a fighter. I don't give up too easy. Like, I may have failed, but I'm not a failure. So I said, right, what was I selling most of in all my stores? It was mainly beds and bedroom furniture, because everybody needs to go to sleep. So I decided, and thought about this for a long time, I decided there was no dedicated bed shop in Dublin, let alone in Ireland. So I said, why don't we give it a shot? So I spoke to some of my suppliers, the bedding suppliers. They said they'd support me. And I opened up in my warehouse in Coolock, a bed store, a complete bed store, and I called it Beds Plus. And it went very well. And then I thought, this could be better. I need something different. I need to look at the American idea of putting yourself out there. So one night I was in the Yacht Pub in Clontarf, and this guy approached me. Hiya, Mick. I'm Paul Kelly. You remember me? I said, I don't remember you at all. But he said, I remember you. He said, what are you at? And I said, I told him briefly what was wrong with me. And he was also in a bit of difficulty. So we put our heads together. He was doing videos. He had a company called Shoot Audition. So we got on very well, and we came up with the idea of selling mattresses only, but we needed a gimmick. Now, I had no money at that time, very little money. And I said, we could use a cartoon, we could use an actor, or we could use me.
You became the gimmick.
Yeah. Because I was the cheapest.
And Mattress Mick was born of all of that.
Mattress Mick, yeah. We came up with different ideas. We call it Flynn's Mattress Michael, Mick's Mattresses. But Mattress Mick had a nice ring to it.
And tell me how you feel about it. Because you refer in the book about, you know, doing silly things
yeah.
and having to be Mattress Mick.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable with all of that? Do
Love
you mind?
It.
You don't mind doing
no,
it?
No, no. I think it's part of Michael Flynn's persona. I just like being out there.
Yes.
And I enjoy, what I really do enjoy is the interaction with other people. The fact that, you know, you're walking
the
down the street.
The selfies and...
Yeah, yeah, I love that, you know. And I didn't realise I'd adapt to it so well, because really I wanted to sell mattresses. But I was very fortunate in the breaks I got. Stephen Fry gave me a tweet.
That's right. He spotted a poster, didn't he? And
yeah.
he liked it and he put it on Twitter and there was a big...
Oh, that was amazing.
Storm, yeah.
That was amazing. Then I also got one or two shots on TV. Joe Duffy helped me out. You know, they
yeah.
all kind of
yeah.
worked with me because it was different.
And it saved you, got you out of that hole
it got
that you
me,
were
yeah.
in at the time.
And what it also did was it built up a trust in the brand. The fact that people...
felt they knew you.
Yeah.
There was a link
yeah.
there to you. It wasn't a faceless
yeah.
brand. I have to ask you about 2022 and losing poor Margaret, which is dealt with so sensitively in the book. But I can tell from reading that how deeply you still feel that loss.
Absolutely. Like, Margaret was with me. We were together 40 years and she was with me through all the ups and downs of my business life and my personal life. And she knew what I was doing. She always trusted me.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a great relationship. She was diagnosed with cancer in November 22 and she died in February 23.
And she had a hard road in that short time, didn't she?
She did,
from 22
yeah.
to 23. And she was in St. Francis Hospice in Ruheny, where I know they looked after her.
Unbelievable.
Very well.
Unbelievable.
And you were very much with her throughout all of that.
Yes, she... loved getting visitors, and she's continued to smoke. And you'd go up, can you bring me for a smoke? You know, yeah. Like, it was great.
But that's the joy of the hospice. You know, they'll let yeah. you have the dog on the bed and the cigarette. And, yeah. you know, this is your time to do as you want.
And you could go in and out any time you wanted. But it was very tough when it actually happened.
Of course.
It was tough, particularly on the two girls. They found it, and Marina in particular, because she and Margaret were very close. They were like, the three of us living in the same house, but Margaret and her had a great bond. So Marina felt that, like, she was given up for adoption. Why? Why did my adopted mother pass? All these questions.
Of course, yeah.
And it's hard. And I can understand it too. Mm-hmm. And Michelle is the same. Like, we could not understand why she was taken. She was only in her 60, early 60s. But it is what it is, I suppose.
Mick, it's lovely to talk to you. And it's a great read. It's a fascinating read. There's
Thank
so
you.
Much to your life, I would say, that a lot of people don't know about that's contained
yeah.
in this book. And like I said at the very start, you tell it so honestly.
Well, Josephine McCaffrey wrote the book mm-hmm. and she did a great job. Like, she tormented me, but it was well worth it when you see the results.
She wrangled you into doing it and it was well worth it.
It was,
It's
yeah.
called Bouncing Back, Memoirs of a Mattress Salesman by Michael Flynn. And as you say, you were helped in the writing with it of it as well by Josephine. But
yeah.
it's a great read and thank you for telling us about it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.